I'm going to give everybody an extra minute or so because I need an extra minute or so. Little bit hectic this morning. Maybe not.
One nice question. Have you been to the bridge?
Not for long. A year and a half ago, that much. Not the year.
Well,
The other person.
I don't know which one. I make it perfect once, but I met Reverend Saunders.
Yeah.
Is she like on the staff here or
No, she gives thoughts.
that she?
She's an ordained minister.
I wish she didn't want our church.
Yes.
Well, I would responsibility. Did you have fun in Chicago at graduation, Jerry? Did
Pardon me?
you have fun in Chicago at graduation or grandson?
Yeah, it was good celebration.
Good,
Yeah,
good.
thank you. It was
I've forgotten his first name.
well, it's kind of an up and down week because on the June 8th was what would have been our 35th wedding anniversary.
Oh, my
And on June 11th would have been Margot's 90th birthday.
really? Happy.
So we have, and let's see, on the 10th was our first grandchild was born.
What is his name?
Oh, this is Michaela.
But the other one.
Finn is the one who graduated. Finn Seamus Gallagher.
I love it.
I do too.
I love to hear you say
A
it.
little bit of an Irishman.
Well, is Margot's sister still alive?
Margot, what?
Is Margot's sister still alive?
Yes, she is. Haven't heard too much about it. She's living in Santa Barbara. So I guess it's time.
Time to start.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So let's take a minute, y'all. I need to take a couple of deep breaths anyway. I'm always a little bit uptight setting up this procedure every Sunday morning. Sometimes it works naturally, sometimes it doesn't.
I
This
appreciate you
morning was
going.
one of the times it doesn't or didn't.
Future. I couldn't help.
Yeah, anyway, it worked. So I'm going to suggest we take a minute to close our eyes. Take a couple of deep cleansing breaths. and just settle into that sacred space. We're going to do a little meditation right in the beginning this morning. The work that we're doing continually reminds me of something in Christian scripture, which is called the Transfiguration, where Jesus took Peter, James, and John up to the top of what was called Mount Tabor. And he just let go of his humanity and allowed his divinity to shine through. And it says, his face shone like the sun, and his garments were white as snow. And along one side was Moses, and another side was Elijah. And Peter said these wonderful words, responding to the highest vibration that he was in at the moment. Lord, it is good for us to be here. Lord, it is good for us to be here. And perhaps we can allow our minds and our hearts to be open to that same truth as we begin our lesson this morning. Lord, it is good for us to be here. So you can stretch. Open your eyes when you're ready. Excuse me. Let's see, I'm going to begin on page, for those of you who are following in the book, page 63, down at the bottom. And of course, we're always open to comments, questions, sharing, whatever, because it's good for us to be here. And I'm glad you are. Down at the bottom of page 63. Now you may begin with yourselves to fill in that blank there. Let me backtrack just a moment. Let me do the last piece of the paragraph before that. All things are reclaimed to Source, God, the One, through your presence and being, individually and collectively. The residual affect of this is the return of the vibrational field, the thank you, the acknowledgement, the divine saying yes to its resurrection through manifestation. Everything is a reflection of the divine. Now you may begin with yourselves. When you claim, I am word through my body, word, I am word. I am word through my vibration, word, I am word. I am word through my knowing of myself as word. The invocation of the monad, the oneness, as identity, as form, and as expression is experienced by you in a palpable way. You feel a current of vibration where it is invoked. I am the word through my hand. I am word through my back. I am word through what I see before me. Allow yourself to be in tune with that energy for a moment. Be consciously aware of it. I am word through what I see before me. The people in this room, all of those who are connected to us in person or electronically, all those beings on planet Earth that are working on raising their consciousness higher and higher so that there can be unconditional love and unconditional peace. All beings, no matter what dimension they might be in, who are yearning and desiring the same things. And you are a part of that. Notice what a difference it makes when you are aware of that energy flowing to you and through you. It's always there. But when we are consciously aware of it, it's almost like taking a magnifying glass and making it broader, wider, longer, more powerful, again and again. The power is within you. The energetic experience of this invocation is the gift of the experience as may be known by the systems you hold that are experiential. In other words, everything about you, physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, every cell and fiber of your being. And that energy is always flowing, always evolving. It's just that when we are aware of it, it becomes so much more powerful. There are levels of experience that you will not attain while moored to this dimensional reality through form. In other words, as long as you got a body, our experience of higher consciousness is going to be somewhat limited until we come to a point where the body doesn't matter anymore. Morning. I think there will come a time when, I wouldn't say the body doesn't matter anymore, but our attachment to the body.
Jerry.
Yeah, John.
Does that include what we call our lower self?
What was that again?
Does that include what we call our lower self?
Yes. Here's my take on it. I haven't heard the guide say anything about this in the book. They've kind of hinted around this. First of all, our lower, what we call our lower consciousness, our ego and our personality, we come to realize that that's not who I am. Something I have is part of my vehicle here on planet Earth, but it's not the essence of who I am. And once I begin to realize that, it's instead of being the adversary or something that keeps getting in my way, the energy of my personality and my ego consciousness becomes partly a conduit through which the divine essence flows through. So it's still there, but it's not getting in the way of my awareness. The other thing to remember about that is that I think there will come a time, maybe not this lifetime, but there will come a time when I can love my smaller self. And when I honestly love my smaller self without judgment, it becomes, again, a deeper and longer and wider conduit for the divine essence to flow through. So the short answer to your question is yes. Okay. The longer answer is, here's what I think it looks like. it's kind of, it rests a little bit, at least, in mystery. Because when we drop our bodies, we still have a sense of self, but the sense of self does not, how do I want to put this? The sense of self does not promote separateness. In other words, I have a sense of self, but I also have a sense of being union, of being in union with God, with essence, with source. Now, the intellect cannot, while you're on planet Earth, you can't comprehend that. I can. But I think that's what they're getting at here when they say, there are levels of experience that you will not attain while moored to this dimensional reality through form, as long as you have a body. But there are ways of understanding and comprehending the experience of the divine as manifest. In the upper room, you are not precluded from these experiences because you are moved beyond fear, and your experience of self as matter is challenged only by the idea that the divine cannot express as it must, which is always your own decision, that God is limited and cannot know itself as form. So they're almost contradicting themselves, but they're not really. They're saying, as long as you're in form, as long as you have a physical body, as long as that's part of your vehicle here on planet Earth, then you're going to be limited as far as your understanding of your connection with divine consciousness goes. However, if you have a true understanding of what of your divine self, then all the other stuff disappears. It doesn't matter. Poets, saints recognize that ability. Here's Mother Teresa sitting in a sewer in Calcutta, holding a dying leper in her arms. What kind of consciousness does that have to be in order to be able to do that lovingly? I often wonder how many lifetimes it took to make a Mother Teresa. I say that jokingly, but also in reality. So I think what they're saying here is, let me see if I can put it in my own words. You are only limited in your understanding of your connection to your divine consciousness. You're only limited by your own mind, by what you think, by what you feel. When you let go of what you think and what you feel as being unimportant, then you are in closer contact with, Lord, it is good for us to be here. The only thing that shifted was my consciousness. And what Jesus was saying to Peter, James, and John is, here is what it looks like if you were to let go of all the stuff you're attached to, especially all the stuff you're attached to with your physical body or your physical being or your old ideas about yourself.
Hey, Jerry.
Yeah, Jim.
Question.
Can I throw in one other thing?
Oh, sure. Absolutely.
I just a thought I had. In an older movie called Cocoon.
Yeah.
There was a scene with these alien beings who looked very much like human beings who were talking to some other human beings around. And they said, they didn't say watch this, but they said, let me show you what you really look like. And the way it was pictured in the movie was like you had a zipper on the top of your head, right? And you sort of unzipped yourself. And the clothes that fell on the ground were your human consciousness. And what emerged from that process was this being of light. So I think what the guys are saying is there, you can unzip yourself whenever you want to. But you're going to have to see others that way before you're going to be able to see yourself that way. Okay, Jim, you're on.
I think that almost maybe kind of answers what I was going to ask in the sense that, so is my lower consciousness, the ego part, lower consciousness of Jim, one, is that akin to the shadow self of my being? And then the other question is, it feels like what we're sharing, what you said here is that I'm to embrace or merge the two, the lower and the higher consciousness, and with the awareness of that, my higher consciousness being aware, to, I don't know, maybe per, allowing the lower consciousness to just be an ally in this thing called my life, as opposed to an adversary.
Yeah, I agree. Totally.
Okay.
Here's one to chew on for a while. When you talk about being aware of lower consciousness and higher consciousness, who is it that's aware? Is it my higher consciousness that's aware of the difference between my lower consciousness and higher consciousness, or is it something else? Is there a part of me, is there an aspect of self that is so immersed in the divine consciousness, unconditional love, that there are no distinctions? There's no lower distinction between my higher self and my lower self. I just am. See, I think we have a tendency to divide things up and say, well, this is good and this isn't. This is better than that. And as soon as I fall into that realm of comparison and judgment, I've fallen into separation again. There just is. Yeah, Don.
Jared, do you see this coming into this plane? Or something. I mean, the way I think about it, certainly are problem. I told you years ago, I thought this kind of sound like we were a drop of the divine put into a body. But anyway, do you think we come into this world with a lower self? Upper self? That's the drop. But the Lord said.
I think we're walking in the realm of mystery that can't be explained intellectually. The way Paul put it, not Paul in the book, but Paul the Apostle, I live now, not I, but Christ liveth in me. And you could stop him and say, well, who's saying that? So you have to kind of, almost kind of push your way through that and say, well, nobody's saying that at all. It just is. It's the truth. It's the truth of what is. Beyond words. Beyond human understanding. Beyond limitation.
Being a computer guy, thinking about that line of thinking, sometimes I look for the reboot switch.
Okay. What happens after you do
I look at things.
that? Rebooting means to change my awareness, right?
Well, to me,
Or
reboot.
to allow my awareness to be changed.
Well, to back up, sometimes I think, sometimes I react in a certain way and I catch myself. And I take a breath and I say, wow, is that really the way I feel about them? And I try to take a step back and I said, not really. I mean, I know there was a time when I thought about that. And probably that's what God is instantaneous response. And I appreciate all the help, you know, that has given me over the years. But at the same time, you know, I'm a different person and I think about things differently, and I certainly hope to react differently. And so reboot sort of says, you know, take all those routines that I've written for myself, computer programming, all the routines are written, and kind of relooking, rewriting.
To
So re
see them differently.
well, I see things.
And what happens after all the work that I've done?
Pardon?
I come back to surrender again, though. The ultimate reboot. Okay, is saying, and Emily Cady put it, God, I don't know the answer. You do. Show me. And when and how that happens, right, is see what happens to us, to me anyway. Please, God, I don't know the answer. You do. Show me. And here's what you're going to show me. And here's what it's supposed to look like.
Very exciting.
Not that any of us would fall into that trap. And so here we are, really interesting, in a place, in a space where we are continually opening ourselves up to our divine consciousness and allowing it to do its work. Because I don't know exactly what its work is. It's beyond my understanding. But as long as I am open to it, it's happening. Of course, even if I'm not open to it, it's happening. See, that's the dilemma. Well, not really the dilemma, but the scripture. Even when it's not, even when I'm not working it, divine consciousness is still working.
Hey, Jerry.
Yes.
Just kind of using that terminology in terms of the reboot of my consciousness. What came just kind of came to me just now is that, that's, so being aware of this reboot or changing my thinking or being aware of this path, let's say 30 years ago. So recognizing prior to that, I wasn't aware, I was unaware. And so I was reacting. So I guess what I'm saying is that this thing that what we're doing here, this conduit and other spaces that we allow ourselves to be available to in our own spiritual practices, it's a continuum reboot of our consciousness, which allows Jim to be gentle with myself, because understanding that the first 30, 40 years, 35 years of my life, I was not. So when I fall out of line or slip up, not to beat myself up, but to understand this is a continual practice of rebooting or refiguring that CPU consciousness. And again, like what you shared one time before, Jerry, because it's always working, because we're working it. There may be a situation that comes up in our experience that perhaps we would have been reactionary one way, but because we have allowed ourselves to be rebooted, we're going to be more responsive, if that makes sense.
Yeah, let me, if I can reflect on that for a minute, Jim. There's a story in the Old Testament where Jacob meets the supernatural being, an angel we call him sometimes, and they get into a struggle with one another for some reason. Scripture doesn't explain why, but they get into a struggle. So here's Jacob wrestling with the angel. It's nighttime when supernatural beings have their strength. They wrestle and they wrestle and they wrestle until the sun starts coming up. And the angel, this supernatural being, says, "I gotta go." And Jacob holds on to this angel, this supernatural being, and says, "I will not let you go until you bless me. I will not let you go until you bless me." That kind of fit with what you're saying, Jim?
Yes, thank you.
You're welcome. Here's another thought to ponder. We buy this book, and we work on this, 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 until either I'm too tired or too exhausted, or I just say, the hell with it. And then there it is. When I had one of my biggest moments of surrender, when I was beginning to work a 12-step program, I knew I was going to have to let go of whatever it was I was holding on. I had to let go of my old self because I knew I couldn't stay sober that way. And I can remember almost standing on the edge of this precipice, getting ready to surrender, and wondering to myself, what's on the other side? See, I was still looking for a guarantee. And the answer was, you know, you can't know what's on the other side until you let go and let yourself get there. And I said, well, maybe the surrendering, whatever it is I'm surrendering to, maybe that's worse than what I'm going through right now. And the answer came to me and says, yes, that could be true. Probably not, but it could be true. But where else are you going to go? Yeah, Don.
I had a similar time, but experience, and it was after we did the first book, the Word. I mean, I was a new one. And the concept that the divine is within me, that it's not a situation where I have to please somebody, you know, for God to love me, that actually the divine is within me. And growing up the way I did, it was very, you know, you got to go to confession, you got to do these things, you got to, you know, for God to love you. And it kind of flipped the script a little bit. And it was a breath of fresh air. I said, maybe there's hope. Maybe I can have a relationship with God, a loving relationship. And wow. And it was like, all of a sudden, I felt a lot of constructs almost fall away from my shoulder. All these things. And what was funny about it was that he kind of left the void. I said, well, what do I do now? How do I think of myself now? How do I go forward?
Mm-hmm.
You know, without all those constructs, then have been impressed upon. You know, I learned, you know, they were taught to me, you know, doctrines, patterns of thinking, so all those things were ingrained. And that allowed me to start dropping some of this. To breathe, see that I can say I might have a chance to have an actual loving relationship, you know, with God. But like I say, it don't play important.
Well, and I identify and I recognize what you're talking about with my own process right now. The relationship I had with Margot doesn't exist anymore. I can't have it the way I wanted it. It's not there. So I have to be open to the, what would I call it? Open to the changes or open to the evolution that has taken place with my relationship with her. That's very different, or different in some ways, from our earthly connection. It's not within my bounds to control. So that's part of what I need to let go of. Here's the way I'd like this relationship to be. Okay, Margot, I know you don't have a body, but blah, 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 blah. Here I am defining what I think it should be. Whereas what I'm learning this morning is, and I've probably known this on some other levels, but it became a lot clearer as I was listening to you, John, Don, is that I'll need to allow myself to be open to the evolution of that relationship and where it's going beyond my human control, because it's still there. That makes sense.
Satisfactory for you.
Mm-hmm.
When you cross that threshold and see Margo as she is now, you will not want the relationship to be, I mean, if you can allow yourself to stay there long enough, you won't want the relationship to be as it was.
Mm-hmm.
So divine.
Well, and I have to look, part of what I have to do, what my work is, to let go of the way I think it should be. And there's a, I don't want to get too many storytellings here. I'll wait on that one. All this came about through this one sentence here. There are levels of experience that you will not attain while moored to this dimensional reality through form. But there are ways of understanding and comprehending the experience of the divine as manifest. In other words, how God shows up. In the upper room, you are not as precluded from these experiences because you are moved beyond fear. In other words, fear doesn't get in your way. And your experience of self as manifest as matter is challenged only by the idea that the divine cannot express as it must, which is always your own decision, that God is limited, cannot know itself in form. In other words, the only thing that limits you is your own thought of limitation. Your sense of oneness with the divine is constantly evolving. It's not a static thing that just say, oh, I'm one with God. Ooh, don't need to visit that one again. What's next? It's a constantly evolving process, and it's only limited by your own idea, your own process of thought. So again, we come back to surrender. Although it doesn't say that out loud. I surrender to the divine within me to teach me whatever it is I need to learn this morning. I've already done a lot of learning this morning. I'm going to take this one. Your experience of self as manifest as matter is challenged only by the idea that the divine is in limitation. We look at ourselves, look at God, look at the divine consciousness, the divine essence, as somehow or another being limited. We put it in a box. Here's the way it should be. You stop for a minute and say, well, is that right? Is that true? Who's in charge here? And that is not to get dwell in judgment about, oh, I did it again, I did it again, I did it again, I did it again. Stop. Whenever I realize I am off course, stop for a minute and allow yourself to be guided back again, again. We admitted we were powerless over dot, 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 that our lives had become unmanageable. Okay. Can I ask you to put your books down? Gotta leave a little bit early this morning. Actually, I'm gonna be doing that for the rest of July, so we might be cutting class a little bit, 5 or 10 minutes or so. Sanctuary duty. Well, let's just take a minute and relax. Close your eyes. Take a couple of deep breaths. And allow yourself to soften. Just to release, you know, release whatever it is you might be holding on to. Especially around trying to understand something your mind can't understand. God, I don't know the answer. You do. Show me. Allow yourself to be enfolded with the divine light of who you are. To allow the words and the energy, Lord, it is good for us to be here. To allow that to touch every cell and fiber of your being, physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually. And allow yourself to rest in that truth. And allow the energy of these words that were spoken by Paul in the book of Romans. I tell you that nothing, absolutely nothing, can separate you from the love of God. Nothing Absolutely nothing can separate you from the love of God. And if you choose to, allow that to be your truth for today. Nothing, absolutely nothing, can separate me from God's love. Deep breath. Stretch a bit. Can you open your eyes when you're ready?
Thank you, Jerry.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Jerry.
Have a good week.
All right, man. Take care of yourself.
Be good to yourself.
Thank you, Jerry.
Be gentle. Be kind.
Thank you, Jerry.
You're
appreciate
welcome,
it.
Guys.
From Mark.
Thank you.
Yeah.